The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Day-to-day, and long-term. Those are your three injury updates for Luukkonen, Thompson, and the latter, Matias Samuelsson, in wake of everything that's gone on the last couple of days. So what it's going to mean is four new lines and maybe a new pairing. We'll see when the Blues come into town for tomorrow night's game, Marty. But it's a little bit half full, but it's a little bit half empty when it comes to Matias Samuelsson.
Yeah, no, this is terrible news for Matias Samuelsson, who, had a rough start to the season and set out three, came back in the lineup just to, get caught up in a little bit of a scrum around the net, and he landed awkwardly on his left side, and was seen not really being able to get up, and then got to the bench really, really, really slowly. Mm-hmm. Took a little twirl, during a commercial break after that, but left again, and as Lindy Ruff talked to the media this morning, said not season ending, but definitely long term. So this is a bad news, bad start to the season news type of thing. A couple of tough years for Matias Samuelsson, who had to miss the rest of the year last year because of a shoulder injury. And then now this, not the news that he was expecting or hoping for when coming back into the lineup, playing one period and then being out for week to week, or more than weeks, yes.
Now, Luukkonen and Thompson did not take part in practice, but are considered day to day. I'd have to think that despite the, desire to be optimistic, and those words were, uttered to the effect that maybe they could play, let's assume that they don't at this point in time, yeah. Based on, obviously, put a lot of attention on Levi, obviously, new look line combinations at practice today without having Thompson there, and based on our discussion yesterday about how might this all shake down, yeah, without Thompson, with some of the combinations that we saw in the Monday loss to the Montreal Canadiens, well, it does look a lot different if you are to run through the lines that we saw today, including Ryan McLeod on a new look top line that would, and I don't, top, I'm going to go back to the Kruger
top,
era.
Bottom,
we're not going to number
left,
our
right,
lines,
yes,
here. So, let's just call it what it is. Benson with McLeod and Tuck, Paterka with Cousins and Quinn, Greenway with Krebs and Zucker, Malenstein with Lafferty and Obe Kubel.
I was one for four yesterday. I said, I think Lafferty and Obe Kubel and Malenstein are going to come together. But I'm a simple man. I'm a simple guy. I like to keep things simple. So for me, it was just move Krebs to the Paterka and Tuck line in the place of Thompson and keep everything together. But again, what did we discuss yesterday at the start of the show? This trend of very low shot attempts, low shots, the offense not generating a ton. I think this is where Lindy Ruff is looking at this and saying, hey, it was trending in a direction that we didn't like offensively. Despite the fact that we scored six against the Rangers, we didn't really create enough that we liked our game. So let's take this opportunity to change things around a little bit without Tage Thompson. So yeah, you're right. Look, Ryan McLeod's played really well. I think Ryan McLeod has been very, very good with Greenway and Zucker. So now you may ask of him to do a little bit more. And that's a test. That's a test for Ryan McLeod. Whenever McLeod was trusted in those situations with the Oilers last year, because you had McDavid and Draisaitl and McLeod is there. And, you know, I don't think that he responded with a ton of offense. He is good at what he does, but this is a new team, a new opportunity, new players. Like, let's see if he can respond with what a top six center offensively can generate with the team.
Yeah, and I apologize for not having these numbers in front of me, but when McLeod may have moved up with Edmonton, was it always at center? Because as you know, like, they're constantly moving the big players around, right? With the owners.
Yeah, they moved them on the wing a lot last year with Draisaitl when they tried to load the top six a little bit.
Right.
If somebody else was hurt, right? Because there was Evander Kane that missed some time last year, and then all of a sudden, McLeod may have played up. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins may have played center.
Thing.
That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like the big mark on McLeod when you watch the Oilers last year or listen to some of the criticism was when given opportunity to play higher in the lineup and produce offensively, the numbers didn't really match. Now, what I saw to McLeod this year is a guy that has shown that he has some offense. He has speed. He's created. He scored. I'm like, okay, maybe it's a different type of player here in Buffalo because he's seeing a different opportunity, not being behind McDavid and Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Hyman and those guys, right? He has an opportunity now to be playing in a very big role for the game, which I think will be tomorrow against St. Louis. I don't see Thompson coming back, and I definitely don't see Luukkonen playing back tomorrow night. You prepare with the goalies. You say, you know what, Levi, that's your game against St. Louis. No need to put, you know, the stress and the all of that on Luukkonen, see how you're doing for Saturday. And then if not, it's next week, the West Coast trip, but you don't have to rush Luukkonen into a game situation on Thursday night.
Well, if it wasn't challenging enough for the Sabres based on how the game went against Montreal and all the stuff we talked about yesterday that could be frustrating, disappointing, and then literally hurtful with the injuries. You are matched up against a St. Louis team that did it again. This is incredible. I mean, they had two very impressive wins to start their homestand. They lost each of the last three to Utah, to Washington, and to Boston, and in those last three, they were outscored 10-1 in third periods, including three more last night on the heels of 5-0 against the Capitals. They've been outscored 8-0 in the last two third periods. They were positive in third period goal differential prior to these last two games. Now they're one of the worst in the NHL. So small sample size, whatever. All I'm saying is both these teams absolutely need to, in their mind, figure it out tomorrow night, 7:30, start at KeyBank.
Yeah, if you look at the St. Louis Blues, their power play before last night, where they scored two power play goals, was last in the league at just over 10%. They had only scored four power play goals in the season. They get two last night, which jumped to a 2-0 lead. But then, Neighbors had a breakaway at 2-0, got stopped by Swayman. Walker hit the post early in the third on a 2-on-1. It was 2-0. It could have made it 3-0, 4-0 right there. The Blues would have been out of it. And instead, they get, you know, David Pastrnak, who I thought was having a terrible game for the first 40 minutes, responds with a goal and assist in the third period and didn't even know he scored on that game-winning goal with a minute and a half left. He shot the puck just to see Bennington making the save, and all of a sudden, you saw the puck just behind him get slowly over the line, and Pastrnak realized it was in. But, St. Louis is struggling in some aspect of the game. The power plays well, despite the fact that...
Look at their raw numbers. They're terrible offensively, and they're not good defensively. Like, their league ranks in both. It's almost surprising they were doing as well as they were. And it has been really highlighted here the last couple of games.
And you look at shots for, they average just 25. Shots against, over 30. Power play, I said, just over 11.5%, 12% now. Their penalty kill is in the bottom, third of the league. Like, these are all numbers that at the end of the day reflects how you're doing, despite the fact that they're 7-9. The Blues are still 7-9, right? After the loss last night. It's not crazy to think that you get on a hot roll and all of a sudden you're back in the picture, just like the Sabres being one game under NHL 500 right now. So mm-hmm. you get a couple of wins before the end of the week. All of a sudden you go out west, you know, you try to get on a roll, stop the one. You know, we saw the Sabres win three in a row and then not able to stop it at one. When they lost three in a row and then won three in a row again. You lose one to Montreal. Whoop-de-doo. Go forward. Beat St. Louis. Look at that team that's vulnerable right now coming into your building. Take advantage of it.
So you mentioned the potential of managing a situation as it pertains to injuries. And, you know, let's assume Levi goes tomorrow. And if he fares well, fantastic. Then you would think like, hey, maybe this is natural. We get him the Philly game on Saturday. And then you've got 3 days, which will include travel before you end up getting to the Wednesday tilt to start the West Coast road trip with LA, Anaheim, San Jose in a 3- and 4-night situation. So again, maximize the situation in front of you here. And so two things. How do you think Levi is feeling at this moment based on limited action and, you know, limited results, so to speak, but also we touched on it very briefly yesterday. Would you anticipate that Buffalo is looking to bring back a goaltender based on, I don't want to just say day-to-day Luukkonen, but the fact that Sandstrom is week to week with the Amerks and you don't have a lot of goaltenders under contract available to you right now?
Yeah, no, I think it's not just the Buffalo Sabres. It's as an organization, what is a need right now? The original plan at the start of the season, Duffer, was, okay, they signed Sandstrom for Rochester. They had signed James Reimer as a number three, kind of behind Luukkonen and Levi, and let's see what happens. So they didn't have any problem, the Sabres, the organization with Rochester, thinking that Luukkonen and Levi were going to be in Buffalo and Reimer and Sandstrom may have been in Rochester and kind of play it by there, right? See what happens. Now, when the Sabres came back from Europe and put Reimer on waivers, the Anaheim Ducks came calling because they had a goalie injury to John Gibson. So Reimer has been in Anaheim for over a month now. So Gibson is healthy. Dostal is healthy. They put James Reimer on waivers yesterday at 2:00. So any team can put in a claim right now on James Reimer. And the way that it goes is you look at the standings, and if there's five teams that put a claim, you start at the bottom of the standings and you say, hey, okay, so who's last right now? You know, do you guys have a claim in on Reimer? No, you move to the next team and you get to. I would anticipate the Sabres evaluating this as an option, as a really, really strong option to say, okay, we could go get Reimer. We'd get back to our original plan. In the short term, if Luukkonen isn't fully healthy, we can have Reimer back up a couple of games, see Levi in net for a couple of games, and then after that, we make a decision. Because Levi, I felt, was really good in camp, was good in the first couple of games of the season, and then after that, it's taken a little bit of a toll on him. He hasn't played a ton, so is that the reason why Levi hasn't looked himself? Because he hasn't played a ton. He's been watching a lot of Luukkonen. Well, if that's the case and you need him to play a lot more to get his game back, well, maybe that's not for the NHL to happen. That's maybe more for the AHL to happen. And if you claim a guy like Reimer, or if you look around the league for another goalie, then you're fine because you'd still have Reimer, you'd have Luukkonen, you'd have your plan would still be in place from a month and a half ago. So I mean, we won't know before the end of the show. Stay tuned to our social channel to see if that happens. But I think the Sabres have to be considering, what is getting James Reimer back through waivers to continue what they thought was going to be the plan with their goalies this year.
No, I can't say whether there's more transactions early in this season than other years. That would be unresearched, wide brush comment. But I yes. feel like we are seeing an awful lot in the way of movement already. Yeah. A significant name in Fabro moved on waivers earlier in the week. And you had Lars Eller moved
yep.
from Pittsburgh. You know, so and so these types of things are happening. And there are also still teams, you know, like I look at Vancouver and they're not even at 100% full health yet. And what are they going to do kind of with their roster when they get all set? But Detroit's
are you talking about goalies in Vancouver? Yeah. You're talking because Demko is coming back soon. So then they have Lankinen, who's the guy. So it means Shelovs will probably be the odd man out. I don't see a situation where. So if you're the Sabres, do you like Reimer better than maybe a Shelovs or Pittsburgh going to put? Well, probably Blomqvist is going to go down to the minors and he doesn't have to go on waivers. But there's still a situation there where maybe there's phone calls to be made exploring the situation in Detroit with their three goalies. There's. The Reimer waiver one is the easy one, is the one that, you know, you had Reimer. You signed him because you wanted him to be part of your plans as a depth guy. Now, if it was somebody else, would that be as easy? No, but this one's an easy one to think it would fit here in Buffalo for that.
And Winnipeg claimed Kakkonen back yesterday, so they've got three again, right? So...
Well, they assigned him to Manitoba right away because they could, because
they
he wasn't 30 days up with Colorado, so they quickly assigned him to Manitoba.
Right, but interesting nonetheless, because a lot of times names float around on waivers and nothing happens, right? And then people would perk up and go, "Wow, they did that! I was not expecting that to happen again."
But
right?
again, so why does Winnipeg pick up Kakkonen back on waivers? Because it's part of the original plan. They had Hellebuck, Comrie, Kakkonen. Then they put Kakkonen on waivers because they say Comrie won the backup job. We don't want to keep three goalies. Colorado had injuries or, you know, bad performances. So they said, let's try Kakkonen. Played a game, didn't work. Okay, Georgiev is back rolling again. Justus Annunen is the guy backing up Georgiev. We don't need Kakkonen. So Winnipeg is like, that's part of our plan. Mm-hmm. One of those three goalies was going to be in the minors anyway. Well, not Hellebuck. So it's going to be Comrie or Kakkonen. So let's pick him back up and send him down to Manitoba.
Right. Continuing to maintain as much depth as humanly possible for the best team in the NHL. Like, there are not going to be any subtractions for this Jets team. Like, they have now firmly established themselves that every single opportunity for them to add depth and, you know, solidify this as maybe the best roster in the NHL, they're going to. Like, that, I don't think anybody is going to debate this now. Like, it's clear. They rolled into MSG last night, threw up another six. So, you know, a couple of tough home games for the Rangers, sandwiched around a John Quick shutout against the Red Wings. So, crazy how it goes. But, yeah, Winnipeg just looks absolutely amazing at this point in time. By the way, tying all this Sabre goaltending stuff together, Hauser, the start tonight. Buffalo takes on division leading, or Rochester takes on division leading Laval at Blue Cross Arena. Macy Ethan Prowl get in for the first time this year, so that could constitute an 11-7 setup down there. But again, based on the fluidity of the situation here in Buffalo, you know, with the most recent injuries, I just. You have to keep putting more and more emphasis on these Amherst games and, like, who's ready if called upon. It has been a wonderful season to date for Isaac Rosén. Prior to Saturday's game, he was actually tied for second in the league in scoring. Took a little hit because the team got blanked on Saturday night, and there have been a few days of games in between. But he's been excellent. Obviously, Consta Hellenius had the four-game goal-scoring streak as well. I just, you know, and Jiří scored in each of his first two games back prior to Saturday's game. So things to definitely keep an eye on. But most importantly, it was tough last week when the Amherst had won six in a row and they hadn't gained any ground because Laval had won eight in a row. And then they both lost on Saturday night. So
yeah, Laval is having a hot start. Rochester is having a decent, really good start as well. But the biggest question now is, Okay, so the Sabres had 8 defensemen, right, from the start of the season. They basically only were keeping 1 extra forward and 2 extra defensemen, which usually it's 2 extra forward and 1 extra defenseman in the way that you lay up your 23-man roster. Mm-hmm. So now, if Samuelsson is gone long-term, which I would assume, it's not season-ending, as Lindy said, but long-term is long-term. Are the Sabres going to look to bring somebody up as an 8 defenseman, or are you good with the 7 that you have right now and saying, you know what, 8 was because we didn't want to put Gilbert on waivers, we didn't want to put Bryson on waivers, we didn't want to lose any of our depth, and it worked for them because right now Samuelsson is gone and they didn't lose one of those 2, which both could be in the lineup tomorrow because both were in the lineup during the 3-game win streak, right? So I don't see a defenseman getting called up, but if Thompson all of a sudden is day-to-day and maybe, you know, doesn't play Thursday, who knows if he plays Saturday, I think a forward could easily be recalled from Rochester to join the group, at least as an extra. Because right now, the Sabres without Thompson would not have any extra forwards at all on the roster.
Is tonight the night that Ryan Johnson scores his first goal as a professional?
Oh, I would hope so. I thought you were going to say it's tonight the night that I'm going to put up a shutout against the Shoresy people, and my last shutout in since maybe, 12 years ago. So, I thought that's where you were going when you talk about goaltending and my big game, our big game tonight. But no, okay, Ryan Johnson.
So he has played 43 American Hockey League games, regular season and playoffs. He played 41 regular season Sabre games last year. He has 20 assists. He is still looking for that first goal.
Yeah.
And you know why this is of interest? Because it'll be fun for Ryan when it happens, but the Blues just had this happen with a very highly regarded Scott Perunovich, who's been around for a few years, and he finally got his first in the NHL just over the weekend. So there was it was a nice moment for them. But it's funny, Ryan entered into the college ranks as a very just skating, no offensive numbers to really speak of, right? Yeah. But then you could just see the more he progresses in levels here, that skating puts him in very good offensive situations. So it's actually quite surprising to me that he hasn't broken through with one yet.
It's surprising because you're right, he has great hockey sense and really good skills to go along with it. But scoring goals is not just about skills. Sometimes, especially for a defenseman, being in the right spot, getting the right pass, getting a shot blocked or screened or whatnot, deflected. So I when I watch highlights of Rochester and I read up on it, I think that Ryan Johnson is still one of the top defenseman prospect that I think the Sabres would look at in Rochester, despite the fact that Sevi Komarov and those guys are going to come really quickly up the rank, right? Novikov, they're good. They're really, really good on the back end, these Russian prospects. But I still think Ryan Johnson is somebody that the Sabres are looking at saying, the way that he plays, it can translate to the NHL really, really well, with the skating especially.
But here's the interesting name that we haven't really talked about. And yes, Ethan Prowl expected to come in for the Amerks tonight. Prowl, historically, the most part on AHL contracts recently. Yeah. Zach Metsa, also AHL contract. The under-the-radar name right now, who has been very good in his first season in Rochester and has some NHL experience, is Jack Rathbone. And I would not be surprised if they go down that path, if they feel like they, you know, want to continue carrying 8 healthy defensemen in light of the, and I don't mean this right now, like maybe it's next week when you go out west, right? And you want to have enough with you, so to speak, for that California trip. Rathbone has been very, very, very good. So just another name to keep in mind down there.
Yeah, no, they have options. And again, it may be a situation where you say, okay, this guy won't play, but we want him for depth. So how do you manage taking a player out of Rochester for a few games, but having him just wait around in Buffalo, or as a, you know, number 22 or 23 on the roster in case something happens when you're out west.
There's hockey tonight at KeyBank. Marty's going to give you all the details shortly. Razor's going to hop on in the next segment to talk about it too. But if you missed the news off the top of the show today, day-to-day for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, day-to-day for Tage Thompson, could they play tomorrow? Maybe. We'll see. We know this. Mattias Samuelsson is out long-term and not season-ending, but he is obviously frustrated and hit hard again by the injury bug. So, Marty, when you look at the line combinations that were at practice today, quickly, in your mind, go through them and what you expect from this group of forwards against the Blues tomorrow night.
Okay, so Ryan McLeod moves up between Alex Tuck and Zach Benson. So that is a completely new line that we haven't seen. McLeod with Benson and Tuck. Cousins, Peterka, and Quinn. So we've seen that. They actually played a little bit together this year, but now it's, okay, let's try to recreate this line that we know has worked well in the past, but it has been a while. Krebs moves up to play between Greenway and Zucker. I think Krebs has been good, but now on a more of a bottom six type of role. I would have elevated him to the top, but I think Lindy Ruff sees Krebs more as a bottom six. Let's keep him between Greenway and Zucker. And Lafferty goes to the middle. Malenstein stays on the left, and Nick Obey-Kubel is going to be back if Thompson can play. That's the only extra forwards that the Sabres have. So those are the four lines right now at practice today without Tage Thompson on the ice.
Sabres Blues tomorrow night at KeyBank Center. We encourage you also, if you have kids, to have them sign up for the Sabres Learn to Play, which is presented by DeUville University. 6 weeks of on-ice instruction available for kids 4 to 9. Join the captain's crew to gain access to an exclusive skate with Alex Tuck and Rasmus Dahlin. Just visit sabres.com/learn to play to sign up today. Sabres Live continues after this.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, Duffer, I'm going to take this part of the show because tonight is the Shorzy Classic hockey game against the Sabres alumni, and I've already gone through my routine. I've touched my toes a couple of times today, as Michael Hauser suggested I would do. I've had my pregame meal. I may take a little pregame nap, and then I'm going to be at the rink early so I can just prepare and focus, Duffer, because we need a big win. And to kind of set up the scene, we're going to get Rob Ray jumping on the phone here because Razor, you are going to be, I would assume, our team captain leading the way into this matchup against the crew from Shorzy here at KeyBank Center tonight at 7 o'clock. How are you feeling about being the leader?
I'll lead you, but I don't want to be responsible for anything that happens, okay? Is that okay?
Like, what do you mean? Like, you don't want to be...
I don't. Like, if you look at the roster, I'm not really... these guys don't listen very well, okay? It's just, I mean, you got Bolts, you got Petey, you got guys like this, and it's just like they're meatheads, okay? So you try to, you know, suggest something, and they're like, what? And so it's going to be frustrating right from the beginning.
Do you think...
What?
I think Shorzy's already played a game against the Detroit Red Wings, and they actually beat the Red Wings alumni 10-8 just a few days ago. Do you think now that you saw the result from their first game and it actually have a bunch of young guys that can play, are you more nervous that, you know, Bolts and Petey and McCormick and Kaleta and those guys are going to do some shenanigans, or do you think it's going to be more of a hockey game?
Well, I have all the faith in the world that you're going to be unbelievable back there. And that I really don't give you compliments much, but we're really relying on you an awful lot. Those guys, I think those guys I don't know. It's going to depend on what these guys. From what I understand, talking to some of the Detroit guys, these guys like to win, and they like to try to win and play to win. So, does that change things a little bit? Yeah, maybe you get a little more serious from the beginning, and then and see what happens, and then go from there. But yeah, I think Darren McCarty got in a good fight in that game, didn't he? Who was that guy?
I don't know who he fought, but something? They got in a nice little tilt. McCarthy came up with a red afro and red goatee, and it was like he was into his element. It was pretty good. So, Razor, maybe you're going to have to get into one, too.
No, Marty. The shirt stays on, especially with that many people there. It does not come off anymore. I will have it tied down, so it does not. No, you know what would happen if you got into a fight like that, especially early in the game? I'd be shot for the rest of the game. I'd be shot. I couldn't do it. So, no, I'm there to score goals today and put a demonstration on that way. Hopefully I can find a way to do it. Just trying to get my equipment together has been the biggest challenge here this morning. I don't know where any of it is. I found my jock.
What are you missing?
No cup in it. I don't know.
No cup?
Do I just roll the dice and don't go with the cup? I lose my cup out of my jock. So I don't know. I got issues here, boys.
Well, Razor, the Sabres have some as well based on injuries. A quick thought on what you would expect for tomorrow based on some new looks at practice today, the fact that Luukkonen and Thompson are day-to-day, the fact that Samuelson is out long-term right now with his latest injury, and just based on what you saw in that game against Montreal and how you expect them to try to, you know, snap back into the type of game they actually want to play.
Yeah, I spoke to Lindy before that game, and it was like, hey, do you think you guys may be getting a little over their skis here a little too confident? And he was so confident that no, they're under control, they're dialed in, they're focused, and you know, they just kind of got away from that a little bit. What do you expect? I expect a good rebound from them. Despite, you know, being around there a little bit, it's not a place or not a group that just sort of sits there and is going to dwell on it anymore. I think they've got a good group of guys in there that can kind of throw that to the past. You know, I'd expect you to say, you can't disagree with what Gilbert did when he was in the lineup, and even getting Joki Haru back in, it's a great opportunity to slide maybe both those guys back in and get them a chance to play. You know, Devin Levi, if he's going to play, then here you go. And up front, maybe it'll be good that, you know, if Cage is going, if he's not, then you have to find ways here now, and you have to look at different directions, and you can't just sort of sit back and you know, kind of roll with the same old thing. You got to find ways now, and now it's going to force the guys to take a little more on themselves, and I think that's what Lindy was looking to do from the beginning, is these guys taking everything on themselves instead of them having to push all the buttons.
It looks to replace Tage Thompson if he's not able to go tomorrow and or Saturday, but this is still you know, up in the air. He may play on Thursday night against St. Louis, but at practice today, you had Ryan McLeod with Zach Benson and Alex Tuch. What have you seen out of Ryan McLeod that kind of tells you, yeah, that makes sense? He can play top line center in the absence of Tage Thompson for a little bit here. You know, what type of skills or what can he bring to the game that you've seen from in between the benches, especially?
I like how his face-off ability. I think he's done a good job there. His speed is something we talked about. I think his offense with his hands are not talked about enough. I don't think that he gets enough credit for as good as he is. offensive, like I'm talking hands to move the puck, to, you know, create things, to get pucks to the net. This is overall intensity. I think he's got great intensity that he can really, if he's playing with those guys, A, the speed, but, you know, push those two as well to, you know, maybe a different level. I think that Tucky likes to play at a high level, and we all know Benson, the way he plays, that, you know, maybe just the three of them coming together, finding each other in open areas, it'll be fine. I think that McLeod has done an excellent job to this point in all different areas, and he's been had to fill in a few different areas to this point already.
If we were building a same game parlay for tonight's Shorzy Classic, Razor, should we have, based on what you were saying earlier, should we have you as an anytime goal scorer? Or maybe a guy that has 4+ shots in the game?
No, you know what? I'm not a big shooter. It's going in when I get the chance, Duffer. So if I get one chance, I get one goal. So I would say anytime goal scorer. I don't need 4 or 5 shots to score. I just need
okay,
one
so Razor, score. An anytime goal scorer, me with 6 or more saves, and... And we'll say, like, Bolts will have, like, 5+ shots. Bolts will – I remember in the 04-05 lockout, Razor, we played a charity game. And after the game, Bolts called Sugar, his agent, was like, I had 2 goals and 3 assists. I was flying out there. I'm like, seriously, it's a no – like, it's a charity game. So I think Bolts is going to have 5 or more shots. He's going to want to light it up.
Bolt has probably had 5 or more sandwiches this afternoon already, so I'm not sure about going out and lighting it up. No. I think I'm going to go on Gianta. I'm going to go on Derek Roy. These guys are going to be leaning on pretty hard. So,
yeah, Tim Connolly is going to be there lighting it up. Tim Kennedy, you know, so there's going to be some skills and youth, which is what I hope is going to lead us to a victory, Razor, because the old guys are going to, I consider myself an old guy, so I'm going to say we're going to hope the young guys play most of the game.
Slide over, have a big spaghetti parm over at Chef's, and you'll be set to go, no problem. You run through a wall.
Razor, good luck tonight.
Duffer, I would appreciate it if you came. And
Marty's got a special broadcast feed set up for me to watch. So
yeah, I'm gonna have a FaceTime right from the crease for Duffer to be there. So that's gonna work.
Awesome. Razor, thank you. We're gonna take a quick time out. Don't forget Shorzy Classic tonight. It's at KeyBank Center. Terrific group of Sabres alumni, and obviously Marty tending goal. We'll take a quick timeout, come back with more on Sabres Live right after this. Again, it's 7 o'clock, puck drop, KeyBank Center tonight.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Moving around, Paul Coffey. Gilbert Perreault's third goal of the night ties it at 3. So Perreault with a hat trick. The presentation to Perreault before the game, beating Richard Martin's record for scoring goals. He comes out and scores a hat trick. Came into the game with 383 goals. That makes it 386. A standing ovation by the fans here at the Buffalo Auditorium. They love Gilbert Perreault.
Happy birthday to the greatest skater in franchise history. Gilbert Perreault is 74 today. That highlight came from February 24th, 1982. And when Perreault scored the hat trick to tie it at 3 in the third period, Wayne Gretzky promptly scored goals 77, 78, and 79 of the season to establish a new NHL single-season record for goals in a season. And I can tell you, Marty, I was so ticked off as a young kid that Perreault's hat trick got upstaged by the great one, let alone that Gretzky set the record in Buffalo against Don Edwards and company. So
yeah, well, the thing is Phil Esposito was traveling with, following Gretzky around until the day that Gretzky was going to beat his gold season goal best record. And so I think that Gilbert got his hat trick and then looked over to Wayne and says, listen, do Phil a favor. Why don't you beat his record now? He's sick and tired of following you around. And then Wayne proceeded to do so. But yeah, Gilbert Perreault, what a skater, what a graceful hockey player. Still to this day, last time I saw him, just a very interesting personality, right? Because I love talking to him. I love how he sees the game, how he thought the game back then. That was way ahead of his time, but very reserved in his own way. So a fantastic man, was a great Sabre, the original, and the Sabres were lucky to have him on a spin of the wheel that landed on number 11, and they got number 11 for his whole career.
That they did, the Hall of Famer, and like I said, scoring records in Sabres history that, you know, based on how we look at the game and longevity with one franchise, it's going to be very hard to imagine somebody topping, you know, the 1,326 points that he scored all in a Sabres uniform. So
very, very much so. Although when we watched the highlights of that game against the Oilers, mm-hmm. like, something I noticed, and then my brain goes scattered and then to a million different. The crease was white, but the inside the goal was painted yellow.
Yeah, like, kind of gross, huh?
It's kind of weird. And then it made me think, wait, how is it now in the NHL? The crease is blue, but it is inside the net. Is it painted blue or is it white? While we were running the highlights, I went to watch some highlights from last night's games around the NHL, and I'm like, oh no. It's white inside the net, but it's blue in the crease. Like, the yellow inside of the net is very, very odd. Yeah.
Man, that was just classic Perreault at that point. That's, you know, with that helmet and the mustache.
Was it a Cooper, and, Cooper helmet? Yep, yeah, the mustache, and, yeah.
The Cooper that was briefly mirrored by the Winwell helmet, you know.
Yes. The adjustable one, it was supposed to be the first adjustable one that clamped on the side. And all that.
It was the helmet that junior teams cut in half to mix the colors because you could take it apart like that, right?
So Eric Lindros with Oshawa with the red and the blue, and then it was Mark Messier had the same type of helmet moving forward.
All the teams did, yeah. It just takes me back. It's so vivid for me, Perreault and how he looked in that era, because that was probably when I had already been collecting cards, but, you know, whether it was magazines, anything that was Gilbert at that time, it was just, it really, really stood out. And it's funny. Do you remember it in your elementary school days, the first time you ever had to get up in front of the class and speak on a topic?
Yes, because I either tried to go first or try to go last so I could delay going on. Like, you want to get it out of the way right away, or you want to go at the very end. So it's kind of like, you know, a week later. But
do you remember any of the topics you spoke of?
I remember one year when Ayrton Senna died in a crash in the Formula One. Me and my good buddy, we actually did a whole, you know, presentation about what went wrong, how that may have been avoided, new rules and regulation for the FIA. So I do remember doing a big, and we got a terrible grade. Like, we got like a C-. I don't know why. Maybe our teacher wasn't a F1 fan, or like maybe he was a Senna fan and didn't like the fact that we talked about it. But yeah, we got like a terrible grade.
Well, I don't remember the grade, but my first ever presentation was on the great Gilbert Perreault. So
wow, that's cool.
Yeah. It always, it's just one more thing that I can never truly understand, like how you end up being around the Sabres and the Sabres alumni and have these opportunities that we've had to share in his greatness, you know, kind of both on and off the ice. So yeah, very, very fortunate to say the least to have had a chance to meet a childhood hero and still look at him up here, you know, after all this time. It's pretty great. So
no, it's pretty great. And watching these old clips is awesome. And that brings back a lot of fond memories of, you know, I Saw Peter Stastny on Sunday. I went right up to Peter. I'm like, hey, I'm not scared of coming to say hi to you anymore. But it's the same thing. For me, it was Peter Stastny and Michel Goulet. And for many people in Buffalo, it was Gilbert Perreault and the French Connection and Danny Gare. And Tickets texted me, you know, at the end of the week last week. He was about to go play golf with Phil Esposito down in Tampa. So, you know, those people are why the game is so good now, because they were so great to so many of us back in the days.
Yeah, and you know, as a kid, you're always rooting for your guy, your team in those rivalry games, right? And I just a quick thought on last night, because I wanted to ask you.
Yep.
How about Linus Ullmark?
Oh,
getting the shutout against, like, this is actually part of the reason he was open to going to the Ottawa Senators. He hates Toronto. He has loved this rivalry since he's been in the American Hockey League. And there he was, first opportunity to play the Leafs, picks up the shutout. And I love when people are wired this way and give you just a little glimpse of how they are and not just, you know, a robotic professional athlete. And, you know, which is not a criticism. It's just, that's some people don't like sharing all their emotion, right? But I think Linus often, you knew what meant an awful lot to him. So good for him last night.
Good for him last night. You know, obviously Toronto does not have Austin Matthews in the lineup, and they actually fared well without him, but correct, they got outshot badly yesterday. It was 41-27. It actually was 35-18 after two periods, but the expected goals were in the favors of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, maybe score affected in the second half of the game, but Ullmark had to be good. He had to be really good, and Stolarz was actually really good at the other end, because it should have been 5 or 6-0 Ottawa halfway in the game.
Is this where I have an awkward question? Good luck tonight?
Yes, please. We need a big win so we can actually celebrate like winners as the alumni play Shorzy tonight.
Yes, Shorzy Classic at KeyBank. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.